The Lord be with you.
And with you.
Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus, our suffering servant. We pray God's blessings on our time together this evening. Our Wednesdays in Lent this year, we've been working our way through the fourth servant song in Isaiah, the suffering servant, Isaiah 52 and 53. We have looked at the servant's surprise, how the world is surprised that somebody so high and lofty could be treated so poorly and lowly. We've looked at the servant's suffering. We've looked at the servant's sorrow. And tonight, believe it or not, with all the kids here, we're going to look at the servant's silence. And we pray that God would richly bless us in that respect tonight. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. The bulletin has the outline for our service. Our opening hymn, a great Lenten hymn that really talks about our Savior's silence. A lamb goes uncomplaining forth. Not whining and complaining, but uncomplaining. 438. Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of Vespers. That's on page 229 and following. Page 229 and following, we have a worship insert for this evening. The readings and the introit for the evening, the collect of the day, are there. For these Wednesdays, we've been having a psalm in the place of our introit, and tonight that is Psalm 54. When we get to that spot, we'll sing it together. The two readings are the Old Testament reading, that servant song from Isaiah. It begins on the bottom. Sorry for the tiny print. That's what it took to squeeze it all on there. Then that goes to the back. And then on the back it says the Holy Gospel, John 6, 1-15. That part of it's a typo. It's Matthew 27, 1-31. We've been reading continuously through the passion narrative of the Gospel of Matthew this year. And tonight I would just ask, as you hear Matthew's Gospel, listen for our Savior's silence. It is very striking and very telling. We have two confirmation essays for this evening. I better figure out where they're at. That'll come pretty early. There we go, Shelby and Jacob. All right, so Shelby and Jacob will be sharing their confirmation essays. We have 10 junior confirmads this year. We have one more questioning of our four-part questioning for them, and confirmation will be the Saturday before Easter during our Easter Vigil service. And then the school kids will sing a little bit later in the service. So, before we begin, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you know us better than we know ourselves. When we should keep quiet, we open our mouth. When we should open our mouth, we keep quiet. We sin daily and much, and especially with the way we use our mouths. Heavenly Father, tonight, point us to our Savior, Jesus Christ, our suffering servant, who suffers for our sin, all of our sin, in humble silence. Bless us with the forgiveness, life, and salvation that only He can provide, and teach us humility and a bold confession. All these things, Lord, we pray in the precious name of Jesus, a Lamb who goes uncomplaining forth for us. Amen. Amen. Hymn 438.
Thank you.
Order of Vespers, page 229. Please stand. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
We sing the intro it.
There we go. All right. Shelby Pearson is going to have an essay tonight on Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. And I'll give the gentleman up there just a second to make sure we get this going. Okay. You just talk. I'll worry about this.
Hello, my name is Shelby Pearson, and my confirmation essay is on Philippians 4:13. In Philippians 4:13, it is written, I can do all things through him in who strengthens me. The reason why I found this verse was I was looking for a Bible verse on strength. This is when I found Philippians 4:13, as it showed up several times, and it was being used by athletes about being strong and achieving their own dreams and reaching their personal goals. I found several times in several articles how athletes were using this before in sporting event. One major professional athlete was even on the cover of Sports Illustrated with the Bible verse written under his eyes. But after researching this Bible verse and learning more about it, I also learned that this was not the way this verse was supposed to be used. It is not getting or achieving things that we want, but that we should rely on Jesus during our tough times. To better understand this, I found that in the fourth chapter of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is writing the Philippians while he is in prison and chained to a Roman soldier. So here he was sitting in a horrible place and maybe even facing possible death, and wrote that he was strong in his faith, knowing that he gets his strength from Jesus and believing in Jesus as our Savior. So with this, a greater understanding that Jesus is there for me during those hard times. So I took a look back at my life and some of the things I have been through. Some of these events that I remembered were difficult and were both physical and mental tough. When I was 10 years old, I completely tore my ACL and had to have major knee surgery, and this was very difficult. During this time, when I had my knee surgery, I felt hopeless and had to rely on others to help me get around and do things because I could not walk. During my long physical therapy sessions, I had to learn to walk again, to do exercises that really hurt, and it was a very tough time. But now, looking back at Jesus, was there for me. He gave me strength to get through these times. But there was also a time when some of what I thought were my friends were not very nice to me. They purposely did things that were just mean and rude. I thought these were my good friends, but realized that they were doing is not what true friends do. I was able to find true friends, and I was able to see that Jesus was there during this time and helped me find better friends. Both of these events gave me a sense of hopeless. But again, I now know that Jesus was there, always there for me during these tough times, and now know that with Jesus I have strength. At the time, it was hard to realize and understand exactly why I was having to go through these events. However, now I realize that these events strengthened me and made me a better person. We were taught about law and gospel, laws which shows our sins and gospel which shows our Savior. Law, which means to show our sins, and this we know that we are born sinners, as it is written several times throughout the Bible. One example in the Bible is written 1 John 1:10. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Also in Romans 3:23, for all sinned and fall short for the glory of God, knowing that we are born sinners, and take comfort in knowing that Jesus is our Savior and that he is my strength and comfort through difficult times. Gospel, which shows our Savior, is also written throughout the Bible. One example is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. Also in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I can do all things knowing Jesus died for our sins. In conclusion, I have strength in all conditions because I believe in very powerful Jesus who gives me strength. This I know now, going to confirmation to learn about God's words, also by going to church and continuing to learn about all the great things God does for us. Knowing that God sent his only Son to die for our sins gives me strength. By learning and listening to his words, It gives me strength. I know that Jesus died for my sins, and I understand that by taking the bread and wine, that I will receive the body and blood of Jesus. In receiving this, that all my sins will be forgiven, thanks to my strength of Jesus, and He is my strength and comfort through all times.
Jacob Wiest is going to talk about 1 Corinthians 16, 13 to 14. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. This is what 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14 says. Maybe not to others, but to me, it is one of the most important Bible verses there are. It is a great reminder of what the law tells us and of the gospel. One of the best parts in it for showing the law is be on your guard. You kind of have to dig a bit deeper to understand what it means. When I first read it, I thought, be on your guard for what? An escaped convict? A thief? A spy? Then it hit me. Of course, I should be on my guard for those things. But in this context, Paul is talking about false doctrine. Christ coming on the last day, mischief, the traps and temptations of the devil, for the devil is the most cunning and devious trickster of them all. The world, disbelief, and bad principles. This list could go on forever, but it reminds us that everyone is watching you and waiting for you to break God's law. And you have to remember that to watch yourself and make sure you don't sin, or be men of courage. Which is confusing at first, but then I realized it means, while the world is watching, still follow the law. And even while the world disapproves of following the law, follow God's law. Or be strong. Now, Paul wasn't talking about weightlifting. He was saying to resist the devil's temptations and ways. We are commanded to, by God, through Paul, to resist the devil and to follow God's law. Now, Paul says, stand firm in the faith, and yes, he is saying do not fall away from the faith, but he is also reminding us that Jesus is coming on the last day, and you do not want to be an unbeliever on that day, because you would be stuck in with eternal damnation in hell. Now, imagine the worst pain ever, then multiply it by a million. That is what hell would be like. Now, would you gamble with your soul like that, risk losing everything and suffering unimaginable pain forever and ever, and never have a chance to get out? Why risk it when you can be guaranteed eternal life in heaven and with unimaginable joy and happiness? You know Jesus is coming, just not when the last day is, or when you die. It just isn't worth it. We are sinners, so we don't automatically get into heaven. And Romans 3:23 proves it. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not only do we fall short of being sinless, but God punishes sin, and Romans 6:23 proves this. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, you can't cheat your way out of hell. The only way to guarantee you are going to heaven is to be a believer, that Jesus Christ was crucified, died, and was buried on the third day, rose and ascended to heaven, as shown in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died. Paul also writes, do everything in love. Now that reminds us of God's love for us through Jesus. God loved us so much He sent His one and only Son to die for us on the cross. That sounds a lot like John 3:16, which is gospel. Jesus is loving and sinless. And God wants us to be like that. Even though in this matter, but even though that is impossible for us to be sinless and to always be good. Now that reminds me of a common confusion that the Roman Catholic Church has. They believe that depending on how good you are of a Christian affects how long you live in purgatory, a version of hell that bad people go through before heaven. Now if this was true, most people would be in purgatory for a long time, but they get confused with the be like Jesus part. We are supposed to be good Christians. You don't have to, but it's good to. Now, how do you and I follow this through our lifetimes? Well, first of all, a good paraphrase I know is go to church. Go to church so you can be reminded of God's love for you and me. to go to church to learn about the price of sin. Go to church to learn the accusing law and saving gospel. I plan on following God's word by going to church so I know God's word. Jeremiah 23:1 says, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying my sheep, the sheep of my pasture," declares the Lord. This Bible verse shows that Satan is out to destroy our faith. But when the devil tempts me, I will know that what he's saying is just to get me to lose my faith. I will be able to disprove all the false teaching he and his legions offer. I know anything that comes from Satan's mouth is nothing but anger, hate, and lies by going to church and learning about God's word and its truth and purity. I will be able to identify false teachings of the ones who were led astray. I will know not to follow them, because to follow them is to follow death and eternal pain.
Well, that is 5 down and 5 to go. So, next one is Sunday morning. Our service continues with our office hymn, and keeping with our theme of silence this evening, we sing hymn 432, "In Silent Pain, the Eternal Son." 432.
From Isaiah chapters 52 and 53. "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and from his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at Him, and no beauty that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away. And as for His generation, who considered that He was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of My people? And they made His grave with the wicked and with a rich man in His death, although He had done no violence and there was no deceit in His mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush Him. He has put Him to grief when His soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see His offspring. He shall prolong His days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Out of the anguish of His soul, He shall see and be satisfied. By His knowledge shall the righteous one, My servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide Him a portion with the many, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He poured out His soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet He bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Matthew, the 27th chapter. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put Him to death. And they bound Him and led Him away and delivered Him over to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price has been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Peace, love, and mercy from God our Father through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this evening, the fourth servant song from Isaiah 52 and 53. Tonight we focus on verses 7, 8, and 9. For he was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to be quiet, to keep our mouth shut, these are things that we are taught and we learn from an early age, right? This is wisdom. In fact, we have a wisdom Bible passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7, made popular by the birds in the 1960s. A time for everything under heaven. And verse 7 says, a time to be silent and a time to speak. That's good common sense, right? We've been taught from early on that we have two ears and one mouth, and we should use them in proportion. Nobody likes to be friends with somebody who talks all the time. And it's even worse if when they talk all the time, they only talk about themselves. It's common sense to be judicious and smart with our mouth. But that's not what our Bible passage is talking about tonight. There's another thing that we learn in this world. Sometimes we learn it very early on. We have learned that revenge is a dish served best cold. We've been taught that when we've been afflicted, when we've been persecuted, when we've been hurt wrongfully, the best thing to do is just keep quiet and to wait and to wait and to wait. And all of a sudden, that opportunity to get revenge is there, and you won't have to say a word. It'll be so sweet. But that's not what our text is talking about here either. When we see the events that are depicted before us, we see the suffering servant, the God-man, Jesus Christ, who has come to earth for us and on our behalf. He is the everlasting Son of the Father, and He is born of the Virgin Mary, true God and true man for us. He suffers for our sins. He suffers to take them away. And we sang it at the very beginning of our service. A lamb goes uncomplaining forth, the guilt of all to carry. That's you. That's me. That's the guilt of the world, the sin of the world, the shame of the world. The silence of Jesus, the Lamb of God, does not mean that He is just being polite. The silence of the Lamb of God does not mean that He is just waiting and keeping quiet and waiting for a time to exact His revenge and send all these people into oblivion. No. He is silent on purpose. Contrast that to the way we are when we feel that we have been slighted. When we are offended by someone, by their actions or by their words, what do? We demand justice. We immediately go to social media and tell the whole world what has happened. We protest. We whine. We complain. We do everything humanly possible to justify ourselves. And we don't care what we say or who we tear down in the process. It's all about us. It's all about how we feel. My friends, if ever there was a person who was wrongly accused, it was Jesus. If ever there was a person who was brought with false charges and false accusations, it was Jesus. They laid plots and schemes for Jesus. They drug up witnesses, false witnesses. They couldn't even get their stories straight. They convened a kangaroo court in the middle of the night. Talk about injustice. And what did Jesus do? He was silent. He could have, with the flick of a finger, brought down legions of angels to wipe out all of the people who were attacking Him. Sinfully so. But instead, Jesus kept quiet. He bore the weight of the sin of the world in Himself and on Himself. He did it freely. He did it willingly. When you hear the words of our gospel reading for tonight, It looks like there's an angry mob in control. It looks like complete chaos. A riot is breaking loose. Or it looks like the evil leaders who want Jesus dead are in control. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. God is in complete control. It is a complete miscarriage of justice. But God is in control all along. It is not the leaders, political or religious, that can put Jesus to death for the sin of the world. It is not an angry mob that can put Jesus to death for the sin of the world. There is only one. There is only one who can put Jesus to death for the sin of the world. And in humble, quiet obedience, Jesus submits to the will of His Father. Yes, it is the Father's will to crush Jesus instead of crushing you or me. The crushing that we truly deserve. My friends, there is a time to be silent and a time to speak. The example of Jesus, our reading for tonight, teaches us that there is a time for us to listen and not speak. You see, the silence of Jesus teaches us that the doing of our Lord Jesus is more important than the speaking. Now that does not pit one against the other, but there is a proper order. Jesus doesn't just talk about the forgiveness of sins. He doesn't issue a position paper on the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins is not a theory or an idea or a concept. The forgiveness of sins is the perfect life, bloody death, and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ on an old rugged cross for you. God vindicates the sacrifice of Jesus by raising Him from the dead 3 days later. This is the gospel. And it is this action, this doing, that puts power behind the word of Jesus. When Jesus speaks, there is power behind it. The power of God's work, the power of God's action, the power of Christ's sacrifice. Jesus suffers. And He suffers in silence. And my friends, there are times when you, as a child of God, instead of immediately demanding your rights, there are times when we are called to follow the example of Jesus and keep our mouths shut. To suffer in silence. Because when we open our mouth, what comes out? Hurt and venom. What comes out? Meanness, tearing down instead of building up. Wicked, shameful words. God's Word teaches us, Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." And 1 Peter, where Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is talking about these very words from Isaiah, says this, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was any deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. Christ Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the Shepherd and Overseer of your souls. My friends, we sin daily, and we sin much. We could be here all night if we talked about all of the sins that are so attractive to us. But let's just take one tiny sliver of sin tonight to examine. The sins of our mouth and our tongue. When we should speak and make the good confession, we are quiet because we're afraid. And when we should keep our mouth shut, we so often tear down and go on and on and on and on and on and on. My friends, the good news for you tonight is that for every sin that has come through or out of your mouth, for every false word, for every false thought that turned into a false word, for every false word that turned into a false action, for every sin that you have committed by acting out or by keeping quiet, Jesus Christ has bled and died and risen for you. God's word is yours tonight. Your sin is forgiven. And remember what Jesus tells the woman at the well? Now go and sin no more. I'll never forget my grandma, after hearing me cuss up a storm, she looked at the, 10, 11, 12-year-old boy, and she says, "I can't believe you eat with that mouth." My friends, we have been called by Christ. We have been redeemed by Christ. We have been filled with Christ to live and cling to Christ's word. We repent daily, drowning and dying to our sin and coming forth a new creation. What do we do with our mouths? The Catechism teaches us clearly. Pray, praise, and give thanks. Wise words. Wise words today and always. My friends, Jesus suffered in silence for you. But His cause and His work and His gospel has been boldly proclaimed for more than 2,000 years to the four corners of the world. God opens our mouth and declares His praise. Everything that He has done for you, for me, and for the life of the world. He shut His mouth so that we can open ours and tell the good news of Jesus Christ. To forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. To build up rather than tear down. There is no silencing the gospel. And God promises that with us or in spite of us, the good news of Jesus will go forth until the end of time. My friends, there is a time to be silent, and there is a time to speak. May God grant us the wisdom, the strength, the love, and the courage to know the difference for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our lips, our tongues, our mouths, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. During our Lenten season, we have been singing as our canticle for our Wednesday services, Hymn 434, Lamb of God, pure and holy. We sing together. You may be seated. Hymn 434. And welcome in the name of our suffering servant Jesus, silent for us in our salvation. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. Some of you may not know that our Sunday morning and our Wednesday evening services are broadcast live on our church radio station, 95.7. You can check that out in about a 5 to 10 mile radius of Good Shepherd, depending on the elevation. At this time, we worship God with our gifts and offerings. As the offering plate goes by, then the kids can come down to get organized to sing. If they don't wait until the offering plate goes by, just like in our gospel reading, we will have a riot and complete chaos. So when the plates go by, then the kids can come on down. There's never this many people when we sing for our chapel. Anybody else, come on down. We'll garner some strength and courage. It is a great joy and a privilege to be able to teach the children and in our school and our preschool the good news about Jesus. We have a chapel on a regular basis. We thank the school and the parents and everybody who helped with regard to our fellowship meal this evening, and it was a great treat there, and now we have an opportunity to hear the school and the preschool kids together in song. quiet tonight. Come on, we gotta get this going like you sing every other time when you're here. How about Beautiful Savior? Can we do that one? Of course, we all know that. You got big kids can sing that too. Are you ready? Okay, let's go. Have a memory work Bible passage every month too, and this week ties in very well with Lent. We say that for the folks, then we'll be done. Are you ready? Jesus said, I am the shepherd. John 10. All right, very good. While they're going back to their seat, our service concludes with the litany on page 288. Page 288, when the kids are back in their spot, we don't want any confusion. When the kids are back, please stand for the litany, 288.
In addition to the prayers as listed in your news and notes, we also remember Mr. Keith Berrigay, who has been extended a call by Good Shepherd Lutheran Church to serve as a teacher and the headmaster of our school and preschool. We also remember him in our prayers as his mother recently passed away. We also remember Bob Van Valkenburg, who is awaiting surgery, and Cassie Borneman, who is hospitalized. We rise for prayer, page 288. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us. Be gracious to us. From all sins, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment, we poor sinners implore you to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to grant your blessing to our school and preschool, and especially Keith Berrigay, who we have extended a call to, that you would grant him wisdom as he considers this call, and peace as he mourns the death of his mother. To beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest like Dr. Allman, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, all who are hospitalized or awaiting surgery, especially Bob and Cassie, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. O Christ, O Lord, O Christ, O Lord, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 431. 431.
Thank you.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Just a couple of quick announcements before we dismiss. First, we have a confirmation meeting with the students and the parents, room 109. As soon as I'm done shaking hands, we'll get going. Be a short meeting, but a very, very important one. That's in room 109. You heard in the prayers this last Sunday, we had a special voters meeting, and we called Mr. Keith Verigay to be the teacher slash headmaster for our school, and we keep both congregations in our prayers as we await the decision prompted by the Holy Spirit. We've got one more of our Wednesdays during Lent, where we'll have church at 12:15 and 6:30 in the evening, one more fellowship meal as well, and then we'll be Holy Week. We have church every day during Holy Week. There's a separate schedule for all the different worship services, and please join us often. Dr. Allman is our special mission focus during Lent. A lot of things out on the table out there. Check that out, and if you can help tangibly in addition to your prayers, that would be great. We have a cleanup day scheduled for Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Many hands make light work. The rain is supposed to be done, and it's supposed to be dry Friday and Saturday. If that is the case, we'll get together, come, and we'll spruce the place up outside. And if it would be raining, if we would have to call it off, we'll just postpone it 1 week. We also have an Easter egg hunt coming up. There's details in the news and notes, and I'd like to get the word out on that. That is Saturday, April 8th.